Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. Tantra Cafe is a program for spiritual enlightenment, and we talk a lot about Tantra and things related to Tantra, all kinds of things related to Tantra. And I wish you Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which is meaning in Sanskrit, peace, 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 peace to you. I greet you with peace. And for my appetizer this evening, I want to talk to you about something that people have heard about in Tantra. A lot of times people have heard about it, and actually lots of Tantra teachers stress this aspect in their teaching of Tantra, and that is the G-spot. Many people have heard of this as the sacred spot. And some people have heard this called the sweet spot. And in Tantra, there are teachers who really focus their entire teaching and practice on paying attention to this part of the body. One of those teachers is Charles Muir, who has been my guest on this show before. You can go to tantracafe.com and hear my interview with Charles and hear what he has to say about it. And as far as my teachings go, I like people to be aware of it, but I don't focus my teachings on the G-spot. I focus my teachings on other things and include the, you know, in my beginner's course, in my bliss course, I talk to you a lot. I have people do it for homework. They go home and find their own G-spot. Women find theirs and men find theirs, so that they can then tell their partners where it is and they can start exploring and experimenting with what happens in a sexual and an intimacy context when someone finds their G-spot and starts to have different types of orgasm. And so it's very tantric in nature, this subject, and it's a good thing to explore. It's a good thing to find. And tonight, the reason this is my appetizer this evening, why I'm even bringing up the G-spot and telling you about it straight up as your appetizer. I'm not giving you much foreplay tonight is what I'm doing. I'm not giving you that much foreplay. I'm telling you to go right to your G-spot. And I'm telling you that because my guest this evening, we're going to have an in-depth conversation about this. And so I want you to have your appetizer as knowing what's to follow. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest, okay? His name is Michael Schussler, and he is an author and a photographer, a painter, and he's a student of Kabbalah, and he lives in Colorado. His many artistic works represent sensuality, passion, and movement of all forms. Michael's paintings and photography and writing mirror his belief that all beauty is an expression of oneself. And he believes he has discovered what people have been searching for centuries, the Holy Grail. Or rather, he's found it in himself in relation to this G-spot stuff. I just want to let you know that that's who he is. He's written a book about it. We're going to hear more about it. We're going to hear about his art, possibly, his painting, and maybe even his Kabbalah studies as we talk to him more in depth. So, Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, welcome to Tantra Cafe, this program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm so glad you could be my guest.
Thank you so much, Lori, for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm really excited, too.
Good. Wonderful. Well, you certainly have picked an exciting topic, yeah?
Yeah. it rather picked me.
That's what I want to find out. You know, usually the first question that I ask my guests is how they got interested in Tantra. And I'm not sure that you were interested in Tantra when you stumbled upon this, even though it's so connected to what I teach and what other Tantra teachers teach. So how did this topic pick you? How did you get interested in this topic?
It was just purely sexual at the time. and finding a way to please my lover, and her being really relished. I wrote the Holy G-Rail, and that's G-spot relating anatomy into lovemaking, because I stumbled across the G-spot. Now, I've done a lot of interviews, and I've learned quite a bit about Tantra through these interviews, so it's really exciting to me for me to be on this show. I've actually experienced some tantric stuff, and I didn't know I was practicing it through the
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best thing that could happen. Thank you for saying that. Go ahead.
I've experienced orgasm through breath without releasing, and I mean, it takes a lot of energy. It's a whole different realm, but it's a really wonderful thing. So when I found the G-spot indirectly on my special lover. And for you listeners, I just call her that to keep her anonymity, because the book gets pretty detailed about our sex lives and how we approach it and how we came to be. And we want to keep her safe and sound.
That's good. Good for you. Good respect. Wonderful. It's a boundary. You know, you set a boundary, and it's healthy. So that's great, Michael. Thanks. Yeah.
It is. I stumbled across the G-spot. She had a prior long-term relationship that was pretty one-sided as far as the bedroom went.
Mm-hmm.
She would release him, and then he would just allow her to release herself.
Oh.
And yeah, so like I say, a pretty one-sided relationship. So when I met her,
that's just wrong.
Yes, it is. It's very wrong. So when I met her, it was very hard for me to break that barrier. When someone has practiced releasing themselves for so many years, and I'm sure that's the same with Tantra, if you're used to doing it a certain way, if someone else comes into the quotient or into the mix, it can throw your mental basis off, and it can make it very difficult to release, and it can be very difficult for you to allow someone else to do that for you.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. Well, you know, it's almost like breaking an addiction.
Yes.
Like there's a certain way that someone says, okay, this is my way, this is how I get off, and this is it, and this is it, this is what I know, this is what I've always known, or this is what I've known for so long. I'm not open to anything else. Even if they want to be open, it's so hard.
It is. So it took me many years to get her off clitorally. Watching, it took me a long time to be able to just stroke her legs while she got herself off,
right.
And then to penetrate her while she got herself off, let alone my finger or with my lingam. You know, it took a long time for her.
For listeners, just in case you don't know what lingam is, for listeners, that's Sanskrit word for penis. We use Sanskrit words in Tantra because they don't have any baggage associated to them. Anyway,
that's right.
Go ahead.
And they sound nice.
Yeah, they do.
The word penis just drives me crazy sometimes.
I
say member most of the time. But
okay.
But needless to say, it took me a long time, and when we finally bridged that gap and I was able to get her off with my mouth and my fingers, you know, it opened up a whole new world for us. And as we continued to experiment through the years sexually, we were trying to, you know, just get a little bit naughtier and try some things. We watched a lot of videos, read some books, and they had the G-spot stimulation, but always a map, a glyph, and an X, or, you know, pointing up, you know, the videos are kind of horrid, because they open a girl up and point up inside and say, it's there. It's like, okay. That don't help.
Right.
So when
you have to discover it. It's really discovery.
It is, and so we were not even trying to discover that necessarily. We were trying to get her to female ejaculate. And lo and behold, she released through the G-spot twice in a row in 15 minutes, and I wasn't even, you know, I was stimulating the area or the approximate area in my mind from everything we were watching and stuff. And we were trying to do something different, and when she released, it was so powerful. It floored her so much that she lost her breath. Her head was spinning. She'd never experienced anything like it in her life. Mm-hmm. So it was very powerful and very different than the exterior, more clitoral orgasm.
Right.
So I the next morning I got in the shower and I was practicing some self-love, and I found an area on my lingam that had the same texture and feel as, because I was trying to think in my head, it took so many years to break the barrier of her allowing me to let her orgasm, her allowing me to make her orgasm, excuse me.
How many years, by the way? I'm so curious.
It was about 5 years.
Wow. Okay,
yes.
I mean, I just wrote down years when you said it so
fast. Yeah,
five
that was clitorally
years.
Now, we weren't even trying this, and it happened, and that's why I wrote the book. But it took that many years and a lot of study. Now, it wasn't that she wasn't pleasing herself, and in between, I would get her really close, but, you know, my hands would cramp or my jaw would lock, and I mean, it was very difficult because I had to study exactly how she did it to herself.
Right.
Every movement, every pressure, you know, and I did that for many, many years. So when it finally happened, it was a very, you know, it was a miracle, a miraculous thing, and it taught me a lot of things. It taught both of us a lot of things. Patience and communication. She talked me through it, and I talked her through it. And when I wrote The Holy G-Rail, I included all those important things. It's a quick, easy read. I mean, the G-spot chapter is only 8 minutes long if you read it. But
yeah, I read it.
I just
want you to know I read it. I read every word.
but it takes a lot more to get to that point to be able to release your lover in that way.
You could read it in 8 minutes, and it could take 8 years. And it would take exactly what you said, what you just said. It would take a lot of patience, a lot of communication, both back and forth, her communicating, you communicating, whoever you are. It could take 8 years, and you'd grow from it.
It could. You know, I think it's a lot easier I wrote it in really simple terms for the gentleman out there to understand, and non-judgmental or non-condemning or non-persuasive words. I try to keep things gentle and, give little Kabbalistic hints throughout on building self-esteem, building stamina, and opening up those lines of communication. I mean, there are so many people, and that's where I get a lot of responses, married couples that have been together for a long time, that have children, that work and have their slotted time for sex or intimate relations.
Right.
And because they're so regimented, and they've been so regimented for so many years, it's real hard for them to get outside of their own little box. And time and being, you know, a work-oriented society, and children, rearing children, it can be very difficult to make love to your partner spontaneously. I think it's really important that we find the time to do that, and we don't set up a mold. And I think, you know, the book gently guides you into that, and it opens up a new area of sexuality that many probably haven't experienced it. At least the test groups and the people we've shared it with and had provide us with results, most, if not all, had never experienced it before.
Well, let's just let's backtrack for a second. I'm going to want to ask you some questions, a few questions about things that you that you just mentioned, test groups and things like that. But let me go back for a second because we kind of went quick. And that's to the name of the book. First of all, if you've just tuned in, just let me tell people again, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. My guest this evening is Michael Schussler, and he has written a book. Now, Michael, tell them exactly, because when you say the holy G-rail, some people could think the word dash, D-A-S-H, is in there, but it's not. So
say it
the exact way.
It's the holy G with a hyphen, rail. And that,
okay, and if you put it together, it would be the Holy Grail, but it's not the Holy Grail. It's the Holy Grail, but there's a hyphen between the G and the R.
Correct.
In the word grail.
And
the
then
Holy
that's
G, go ahead.
Hyphen rail or dash.
Perfect. And you're the author, Michael Schussler. Now, if people wanted to find you, how did they find you? Like, what's the best website to find you at?
The Holy G. hyphenrail.com.
Perfect. And you have another website.
It's actually available through Amazon.com also.
Okay, that's great. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay,
and then if they want, I do inspirational writing through my MySpace. That's a good way to get to know me. And that would be myspace.com/theholyg.
Okay. Perfect. Very good. Thanks for letting us know all that, because what good is it if the listeners can't find you? They want to find
exactly.
you. Of course, they're going to be able to find you on tantracafe.com. They're also going to be able to find you on bbsradio.com if they're listening to this interview. But I want them to be able to go directly to you as well, just
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, they can find out a lot more about me at the website also. I do fine art. I'm a painter also and a photographer, and a lot of my wares are available on that site. Everything on that site I have created, so it's not anything but sensuality and movement through my hands.
Beautiful. Well, I imagine that that's how all of this found you anyway, because you're a creative type who lets things move through you from what I have read in the book and what I understand, you follow energy in a certain way, and
correct.
That's how you
discover it. I try to control it, but sometimes it controls me.
I don't know if you're familiar with David Deida. He's a pretty popular teacher on sensuality and sexuality and tantra, and he says this is about male and female energy. He advises men that if they try to control women and their emotions, it's like trying to put a steering wheel on the ocean.
Yeah, impossible. The best thing is to just let all the control issues go. There's really no room in sexuality at whatever level you practice it for control. Aside from, you know, trying to control your release, but I mean, in all reality, if you don't think about it and don't put an emphasis on it, you can get past that too.
Right, right. Well, also, when people are really practiced at Tantra, they don't have to think about it. It isn't a matter of control anymore. It's just what they do.
Exactly.
And then they choose when they want a release, and that becomes a whole different ball game. They get a release anyway, but it's just different. You know,
yes.
It's just completely different. So, well, listen, we're just about at time for a station break, so we're going to just break for a commercial for a moment, and then we'll be back, and I have a whole bunch of other questions to ask you. So if you've just tuned in, again, you're listening to me, Laurie Handlers. My guest today is Michael Schussler, and we're talking about G-spot stimulation, and we're talking about the things that Michael has discovered and the writing of his book and some amazing things that he just kind of that found him. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tantra Cafe. Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Okay, we're back. And we're back on Tantra Cafe. I'm Lori Handler. You're listening to bbsradio.com. And my guest today is Michael Schuffler. And we're talking about his book, The Holy G-Rail. And it's about lovemaking and communications and relating and anatomy and all that good stuff, which we like to talk about here on Tantra Cafe. So, Michael, coming back here, just let me acknowledge you for the years that you put in with your lover to have her experience this kind of joy in this kind of release. What I want to know specifically for tantric audiences is, when you went there, in all this time that you were patient and practicing and touching in just some way, when you found this spot and you found release, did a whole lot of other emotional things come out of her and come out of you? I mean, because I say to people that there's a lot of emotions tucked in there that people don't know about that get protected. So could you tell us a little bit about that? Was there an emotional release as well?
There was. I mean, the trust issue intensified between the two of us, and her trust for me really intensified 1,000 times.
Okay.
She has a lot of thoughts and fantasies that she likes to share with me, and you know, for a lot of the gentlemen out there, it's a wonderful thought, and it's the kind of thoughts that you never think will ever manifest, but you know, it's fun and it's erotic. But since the release, her ability to communicate with me and I with her has opened up so many doors, and fun playing doors, sexual playhouse doors, and just the communication and stability in our relationship has been formulated really, really soundly. And for me, besides taking pressure off me, you know, I mean, because of the clitoral thing we talked about earlier, with the G-spot release, it happening so easily, it just opens up new doors, and it gives us a new avenue, and that's really why I wrote the book, is to help other people understand sexuality, to take the stigma out of it.
Mm-hmm,
and for people to love themselves again and enjoy sexuality on all levels, whether it's spiritual levels or just plain physical levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great. I mean, you know, the aha for me and in just talking to you this moment is that I got it, that when you found this spot with her and were able to facilitate her in having this release, and she went for it with you so wholeheartedly, that took away, that like gave a whole new pattern, a whole new mapping, rather than being stuck where the stuckness had been, like
exactly.
Before, like you had to do it exactly the way she had to do it, and you had to do it exactly, you had to mimic her movements, and you had to,
at the beginning,
that was so,
yeah.
Go ahead.
At the beginning, it was that way. I mean, towards, you know, after I finally allowed her to achieve her clitoral orgasm, I guess you would say it that way.
Yeah.
You know, we opened up
clitoral.
A lot of doors, and we had opened them up prior. She just wasn't mentally able to let it down. And afterwards, with the G-spot happening so suddenly and it being so powerful, it is the most wonderful thing to come home and have her spend the weekend with me and you know, see that grin on her face and have her ask me through the G. It's something I haven't experienced in this lifetime.
Right. And you never
know?
Really, before this, like in partners, before this, I mean, obviously you had a life before.
Oh, yes.
You met this person. In your life before that this never came up. This
well,
wasn't.
It may have come up, it may have happened, but I wasn't sound enough to pay attention to it. and the women, the women probably, they were fleeting relationships and sexual bouncing. So it was a lot. We didn't, you know, as much as I would have liked to focused a lot more, I wasn't of sound mind to do it,
so to speak. So it sounds like this. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It sounds like this for you has been extraordinary, because you're the one. You're my guest. You know, she's not on the show. You wrote the book. So just to talk about you for a moment, it sounds like this has been an extraordinary breakthrough and awakening for you in your own masculinity, in your own being a man with a woman, what it's like to be a man with a woman awake.
Yes.
In a way that you probably never dreamed of.
Yeah, I've always been a passionate man, and I've always prided myself, and that's the big word, I guess, on pleasing the women I've been with first and foremost, but this has taken the negative side of that word pride out, and you know, it's more, I'm more humbled because it happened in such a way, such a special way that has increased, you know, so many different areas of our life, even though it's just a sexual act, you know, that can be felt, you know, spiritually on different levels. But, you know, when you're talking about a release, it's a release. And even though it is on that, on so many different levels, we've grown. And I felt special because the next day, I focused most of my life on the canvas artwork, paintings, and photography. So when the words came to me and the title came to me and I correlated it with the Holy Grail, which I'll say a little bit about, I was not familiar with the Da Vinci Code when I wrote this book.
Okay.
I had seen, and a lot of people ask me that because I call it the Holy Grail or the Holy G.
Right.
They assume I saw the Da Vinci Code and pulled the stuff out of it. The only thing I had heard about Da Vinci at all, I was playing online poker probably a year and a half prior to when this happened. And, with the TV behind me, they had Da Vinci's painting of The Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Or a painting of The Last Supper. and they were talking about it, and the only thing I noticed was the painting, because I'm an artist and I can appreciate the master's work. And they talked about, you know, it being possibly a woman on the side of Christ and or not. And, you know, I just paid attention to that 5-10 second clip of that painting, turned around, finished playing poker online, and a year and a half, you know, a year and a half later, this happened. And when it happened, the title came to me, the premise came to me, and as I was writing the book, I realized that you ladies, and this is for me, you ladies on this earth with us, have got to be that essence. Because if you have the ability to create life from your being, you can create renewed sense of youth within us, the men of your lives, or your partners, whether they're male or female.
Mm-hmm.
You can create a renewed sense of life. And if we just take the time and see you as this chalice of life, it can change your life. And that's, you know, the premise of the book came to me. I wrote it not till afterwards did I even have a clue about all that Da Vinci Code stuff.
Yeah, but isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I mean,
and
like,
that's
so amazing.
That's why I feel so blessed, because, you know, first of all, I was able to release my lady in a way that she'd never experienced in all her life, and in a way I would never expected. And then for the knowledge to come through me that way, and to write the book and get it out in a short period of time, and do something and put myself into the limelight. I'm a Pisces, so I like to stay at the bottom of the ocean, you know, and I don't like necessarily being the in the center of attention. And I threw myself into it by writing this book.
Right.
And you know, that's it for the rest of my life. I mean, I have no choice now. But I felt the necessity to do it, and there was something that drove me to do it. So, you know, G-spot aside, the message that rides in between the lines of the book, all the little hints that can help people gain more love for themselves, whether it's through masturbation or just taking a hot bath and pouring beauty into areas of themselves they're not happy with, you know, or having patience with each other in a relationship, and expanding the molds that we seem to typecast ourselves into after so many years of being in relationships. I think there's so many things and that this can help with if you read in between the lines. Now, for those who have a tough time reading in between lines, I do plan on having, this is actually the 5th out of 6 books that I have planned now. And, you know, this being the Holy G Rail, the first one will be the Holy G Rail Part 1, you know, the Road of Communication, Part 2, Self-Love, Part 3, Patience, Part 4, Communication, or, you know, I'm going to expand on the chapters and
good
get
for
more
you. That's great.
Spiritual, and then at the end I'm just going to do a volume of Changing the World One Orgasm at a Time, All Roads Lead to the Holy Grail, because again, I believe you ladies are the Holy Grail and a gift to us men here on the earth, and if we treat you as such, you will keep us young and virile and happy. And because each and every one of you are so beautiful and have something to give.
Well, thank you. That's great. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge your acknowledgement of me as a female and as other women as females. And you know, that's been a long time coming. You know, that's not the way our culture, our religions, our societies raise us, even now.
Exactly.
Even now. Women are, you know, if I hear, I was at a conference last week where there was a 21-year-old gorgeous being, and she said, you know, I don't want to apologize for who I am anymore. And I'm thinking, why is she apologizing? She's talented, she's beautiful, she's terrific. And I went, oh, it's still there, the stigma of beauty and raw sexuality. She's got to apologize because people think she's too much.
Yep. And that it's a sad thing because it really takes you to make us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In all reality, you know, the whole chicken and egg thing.
It's that Adam and Eve stuff. If Eve hadn't bit the apple, it's all been twisted and misconstrued, you know, all that stuff. And you're redefining it in a certain way, and so are we in Tantra. So it's, you know, this whole movement of placing the feminine back in our lives where it belongs.
Correct.
It's beautiful.
We as gentlemen need to practice self-love, and aside from masturbation, but, you know, when we spend time with ourselves, it's important to touch and feel yourself, you know, as a man, and actually feel yourself through the fingertips. Not the sensation you're receiving, but what you're actually feeling. Because you can bring it, in a weird way, you bring out that feminine aspect of yourself, you know, and you can love yourself a little bit more. And the reality of life is, if you don't know how to love yourself, or if you do not know how to release yourself on any level, how can you expect someone else to do that for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think it's really important that we get back to the reality of things. Take the shame away. You know, sure, there's some hardcore stuff out there, but if you're not hurting anyone and you're two consenting adults, it doesn't matter. You're experiencing what you want to with your partner, and as long as there's open communication, patience, and a loving attitude towards it, there's nothing that can be wrong with that.
Exactly. It's just creativity expressed.
Exactly.
Really,
I have a
previous show on Tantra Cafe where we discuss. My guest then is a woman named Barbara Corrales, who's written a book called Urban Tantra, and the topic of that evening is S&M as a spiritual practice. So I just, you know.
Since I've written the book, I've experienced and participated, viewing and experiencing and seeing how these different S&M and things work. And you can't knock anything until you see what they really mean behind it. I don't necessarily agree. I don't necessarily agree with creating pain for pleasure, but if it's willingly done and it feels good, it's okay. And they have, it's funny, some of the BDSM clubs around, they have strict guidelines, rules, regulations, boundaries, more so than most people have in their own sexual lives. You know?
Well, boundaries and rules and regulations are good, actually, because
it is.
Then people honor each other, and you can always lift a boundary once you know that someone honors your boundary.
Exactly. You can lift it, and you can feel safe when you lift it.
Exactly. Well, it's great, Michael. Really, this is good. Some good stuff, good things that you've discovered. We're going to go to break again for a moment. We're going to have a commercial, and we're also going to have a piece of music. So we'll be right back. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest is Michael Schuessler, and we will be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Funny, I did an interview about a week ago, and I didn't hear the gentleman. There was a call in. He was talking about 8 hours of sex, and he mentioned Sting, but I didn't hear Sting because we had a bad connection.
Uh-huh.
And he's going, I don't know what you call that. What you call that? And I was dumbfounded, which I shouldn't have been, because earlier I had done a tantric interview like this one here tonight, and it just totally went by my, you know, went over my head, and I went, I don't know, you call that a marathon? You know? And it's like, yeah, afterwards, my special lover got off the, you know, she was listening to it in another room, and she goes, you know, he met Sting and Tantra, and it was like, oh, God, just went right over my head, you know? So, I'm very familiar, and thank you so much.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel really good.
Good, and you know, it doesn't matter. You that was a good punchline anyway, if you said you call that a marathon, so that's fine. Yeah, I just was, I thought of it because he's way into this stuff as well, and I always say to people, you know, they break for a meal. It's all about communication. It's not just, they don't do pounding, banging sex for 10 hours, you know.
No,
they talk, they communicate, they look at each other, they breathe together, whatever, so.
They love each other.
They love each other. So let me ask you this. I got your message. You know, it's you have a powerful message, and by the things that you're going to do your next books on and stuff. Would you say this book is more for men than women? Let's go to that question, a little controversial possibly.
I wrote it for men. In a simple, simple fashion, and short enough that they have the attention span to grasp it. But
yeah.
I have found that I sell to many more women. Now, I'm sure they give it to their men. I would say it's for couples, because throughout the book, there's a lot of times, and some people would say I jump around, but I purposely speak in a fashion that is simple and not towards any gender,
mm-hmm.
Unless I specifically say gentlemen or ladies. I think, you know, it's a wonderful book to read together with your lover, because
mm-hmm.
then she's not saying, well, if you just talk to me a little more, or her shyness may drop down a little bit and she'll open up and talk, because I find women have a much harder time opening up and communicating what they're really feeling. Due to embarrassment, maybe, or shyness, or just, you know, deep down inhibitions, because we have, as a society in a whole, been told that sex isn't something that we enjoy. And, you know, the race mind still has that locked in it. So, you know, there's a lot of inhibitions, you know, out there that can be lifted if you just do it together.
So, okay. So, and you found that many, many more women buy the book.
Yes.
Would you say
I get much better response from women. Men, they just think they know it all. We do. You know, and you know, I don't want to say they don't, but they don't. And I don't want to say I know more than them. I was just handed something to disseminate, basically. And
right.
And that's all I'm trying to do. I'm, you know, take it or leave it. It's a simple way of relating your anatomy. And this is why I wrote it for men, because on the lingam, they can find an area, I briefly mentioned it, that actually feels in texture and is even the approximate distance from the urethra of the lingam down on the shaft, that will feel, if you're erect and slick and sudsy, just like the G-spot within a woman. So it gives the men a focal point and something to feel for, because the yoni can be a very large space, and I'm not talking cavernous. But if you miss the G-spot by a quarter of an inch, you know, stroke on the side of it rather than over the top of it, and miss it, and you're not communicating with your lover what she's feeling or she to you, it can feel really good, but nothing's ever going to happen. And
right,
if you try to sneak it on her, which many men I've sold the book to have tried to do, and they'll look at me, I can't do it. And it's like, have you talked to her about it? Well, no. Well, if you try to sneak it on her, when you're on the spot, she's going to feel like she has to urinate because it's a different sensation and pressure. And if she's feeling that in her mind and you're not telling her what you're doing, she's not going to think about anything but the fact that, uh-oh, I've got to go. And I can't go because we're making love. So nothing's going to happen. It'll feel really good. But you know, there's going to be frustration, and then you're going to get the man's going to get frustrated because he's not able to come out and you know and perform this for her. But if you talk, if you read the book together, and you're prepared for the sensations you're going to feel, and when you're feeling them, communicate those sensations to each other, then all that fear can be released. And in all reality, this is one thing I want to clarify, because most of the times when I do these interviews, everyone attributes the G-spot to, of course, or naturally, female ejaculation. And I have found that in the women we've tried it on and the groups we've tried it on, most of them did not ejaculate, but they did have a G-spot orgasm. So I don't believe the G-spot and female ejaculation are synonymous. I do believe that you have to have a G-spot to female ejaculate, but I don't believe you are going to just naturally female ejaculate if you have a G-spot. I think that takes practice, and that takes a lot more foreplay and building up of fluids within the vaginal walls.
Yeah, that's good to say, really. I've had a couple of female ejaculation experts on the show before that people can go back to and listen to as well, to Lula and Crystal back in, I don't know, months ago. They were my guests, and they were promoting a female ejaculation DVD, which is fabulous. So you're right, it's not always going to be, every woman can, and whether she's going to or not, it depends on how much time and energy and effort and practice she wants to put into it. And for some people, it's just like that. They don't even have to.
sometimes it's floods.
Right.
You got to be prepared for that. And I did an interview with a gentleman, and prior to the interview, he was talking, and he alluded to the fact that he may have done that to his lady accidentally. And because she wet the bed, so to speak, he may have gotten a little bit riled up and said some things that he shouldn't have said in the way he did. So she was then fearful of that because they didn't know what was going on.
Right, absolutely. Well, that can happen, and that's why this is good. You're putting the information out there in a way that men can... I was going to say this before, you know, I've been teaching Tantra for 11 years now, and I absolutely love my students. I love women. I love men. And still, when I say something to men, when I say to men, okay, we're going to work on ejaculation control, and they say to me, well, how does it feel? I say, well, you know, I'm not in a man body. I can't tell you what it feels like. I can turn you on to some men who know. They can tell you what a full body orgasm feels like in a man body. I can't tell you that. There's some things I can't tell you because I'm a woman in a woman's body. So it's like when a man tells other men, this is it. You know, here's the deal. You need to talk. You need to communicate. No surprises. You know, give honor. Give pleasure. Give respect. Give so much admiration, and it's almost adoring what you're talking about. When you say that to other men, and you don't sound like any pansy-ass pussy man, you know what I mean? Like, you don't sound like somebody who who doesn't know a thing about being a man. You sound like a man. When you say that to other men, you know, male men, they got to sit up and listen to that. And I so appreciate you for knowing that, and for knowing that you have to say it in a way that's simple and easy to understand and get men's attention and give them the message quickly.
Exactly, because, I mean, men want to put in a video, learn how to do it, and do it. You know, and those videos are not that simple to follow. I mean, it would seem so, but the women they have on there are very well versed in releasing themselves.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's all movie magic, and it's tough because so many people compare themselves to what they see on videos, and it's really a sad thing. Because it is movie magic. You really don't know what's going on, you know, or what kind of help they've had. And you know, the way it's edited together, it looks flawless, but it's not. You know, it all boils down to respect and appreciating each other's boundaries. There is one thing I'd like to clarify.
Good. Good. Let me just tell you, too, we're winding down to our time, so let us have this, and then we'll give people a way to get in touch with you again.
Okay, just real quick, you talk about me talking about G-spot on women and myself in the book.
Yeah.
I do not talk about the male G-spot in the book. I talk about the magic spot, which is an area on the underside of the lingam that feels like the female G-spot, so men can practice on their self feeling for a texture and sensation and spongy material. That's
very good. Thanks for clarifying that, because when I read your book, I wondered. I said, well, this isn't the male G-spot.
No, that's
the male
in your anus.
The male G-spot is inside. It's inside the anus, and
exactly.
It's at the prostate gland. And I thought, And now I'm very, very glad that you clarified that so that our listeners who know something about that won't be going, well, what is he talking about? So that's great that it's a magic spot for you, and it gives people a sense of what they're looking for inside a woman. It's great.
Correct.
Really great. So let me tell the listeners again how to get in touch with you. They go to theholyg-rail.com, and the dash, that's like a hyphen, theholyg-rail.com, and they can find your book that way, or on amazon.com. The author is Michael Schussler, who's been my guest this evening. And, Michael, I really want to thank you for being my guest today. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
Well, thank you and the Tantra Cafe for having me. I really had a great time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And anyone, if you have questions for me or if you have some questions that you want me to forward to Michael, you can write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. Or just visit my website, butterflyworkshops.com, or visit tantracafe.com to find out more. It's been wonderful, wonderful again being here with you all, and I'm going to sign off with Namaste from Tantra Cafe.